Luke chapter 10, verse number 29. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, and when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, and this is where we'll take our text, Go and do thou likewise. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us. I want to preach this morning on this thought using this title, How Are You Doing? How are you doing? And some of you are thinking right now, just fine, thank you. That's not what I've got in mind. I did not ask you how you were feeling. I asked you how you were doing. How are you? How is your activities? How and what are you doing? Jesus, when He gave this entire parable, He looked at them and He said, Go thou and do likewise. When I ask you this morning, how are you doing? I'm not inquiring into your feelings or your thoughts. I'm not inquiring into how that you feel about yourself, the church. I'm not really inquiring into how your physical well-being is. But I want to ask you, how are you performing for Christ? How are you doing? And this morning I've got some things I want you to notice in the message. And by way of introduction, I want to give you some background on the Scripture, and we'll get further into the Word of God this morning. We found a man, the Bible said, going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And notice the trip was down. What does Jerusalem represent? All the way through the Word of God. Jerusalem represents the church. Jericho, all the way through the Word of God, represents the city of sin. And so we've got a man that's leaving the church and going all the way down to the city of sin. It's a 15-mile journey from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And those roads are winding, curvy, mountainous roads. And it's a very desert and barren land. At least it was at the time of Jesus' day. And thieves would encamp about on the sides of these roads. And as a man made his trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, they would take and pounce on him. This happened to this man in this story. They took, and many of these thieves, notice it said it wasn't one, but he fell among thieves, which tells us there must have been at least 3 of those seem for him to have been among them. And so these thieves pounced on him, at least 3 of them, and beat him and robbed him and stripped his clothes off of him and left him laying in the street half dead and naked in the ditch. And so here he is without hope and without help. I want you to notice 3 things by way of introduction before I go into the message this morning. I want you to notice the thieves in the desert. In verse 30 it said, And when the man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, he fell among thieves. There's always going to be some people out there that would like to rip you and steal from you some things. They want to rob you of your joy. They want to rob you of your peace. They want to rob you of your happiness. They want to rob you of your relationship with God. And John said, if so, they would even take your crown, according to the Word of God, the book of Revelation. And so
there some thieves in the desert. And then I want you to notice not only thieves in the desert, but in verse number 30, I want you to notice a man in distress. He said he fell among these thieves and stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Here he is in the ditch and cannot help himself. Nothing he can do to help himself. He's half dead, unable to get up out of the ditch and go for help. Son, that's where a lost and dim world's at tonight. They're laying in the ditch of distress, without hope and without help, and cannot do anything for themselves. And so they're depending on someone to come and help them out of the ditch. The third thing I want you to notice, not only the thieves in the desert, a man in distress, but I want you to notice a religion in denial. A religion in denial. Verses 31, 32 tells us about the priest, which is a preacher, and the Levite. How that deacon comes along and they see the man in needs help and they see a man in distress and yet they turn their head the other way and try to think about it. God help us in this world today. We see people that's in need of a Savior, not to turn our head and turn our back on them, but to go to where they are and help them out of the ditch. Amen. Well, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing? Not how are you feeling? What are you thinking? But how are you doing this morning? How are you doing? How is your activity level for the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your performance? What are your results in your work for the Lord Jesus? Well, I want you to notice the three men that passed by. The three men that passed by. First of all, we find the priest coming by. And we find in verse number 31, he didn't even turn and take a look at the man. It said, and by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Can't you see the priest coming down and whistling? He's having himself a time. He's got on the nice ring of the day. He's clothed to the finest that Israel has. And when he's walking down the street, he sees that fellow in the ditch. Quickly he turns his head and walks by on the other side, acts like he didn't see him, and passed by on the other side. And the priest was a religious leader that was to lead the Israelites in righteousness and sacrifice. Old Testament terms. New Testament terms. That's faith and works. Amen. And so the priest was to lead the people in faith and works. Instead, he led the people in these three things. First of all, pride. He had a prideful heart. He looked over there in the ditch and he saw that man and he turned his nose up as if he were too good to help a man that was laying half dead in the ditch. He thought he was too high and too mighty and too good to be putting his hands down there in the ditch to help that man. He led the Israelites in pride. He led them in position. How's it going to look now, he thought to himself. And for a priest to come along and get down in the ditch and help that man out. Son, I'm better than this. I don't have to do this. I'm not a field hand. I'm above this. I'm too important a member of the church to be helping somebody out of the ditch. He left them in pride, in position. I will say he left them in power. He said, now look, I don't have to get down that ditch and get that man out. I ain't got to do that anymore. Son, I had a little congregation with me. Storefront building. I had to go to the ditch, but now we got a big building. We got a big crowd. We got a big offering. And I just want to go to the nice subdivision where all the nice houses and the wealthy. For somebody say amen. How all the wealthy people are. How are the fluent folk are. I want them people with the college degree. I'm not worried about that trucker in the ditch. How the needle in his arm. I'm not worried about all that. I don't want to help that man out. I'm strong when the crowds are small. They'll go to the ditch, but when the crowd gets big, they only want the big dogs. Amen. I want to tell you something. You can have your highfalutin religion. You can have all your sophisticated garbage. Give me people that God the Holy Ghost has pulled out of ditch. And you build a church. Amen. You can build a church. This old priest, son, he's full of pride. He had his head all up in his position and his power, but yet he passed by on the other side. I want you to notice the Levite this morning. I'm not going to spend too much time on the priest and the Levite. They're not the important persons in this story. We always see the priest, he passed by. We see the Levite come along. Now listen, the Levite at least did do a little better than the priest did. He did at least look at him. Amen. How the Bible said in verse number 32, said, and likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. And as the Bible said that he passed by on the other side. He did at least look at him, but he decided, look, it's not worth it for me to fool that man down there in the ditch. It's not worth it. And so he walked by on the other side. And you see, it took some effort for him to help the man. I want you to notice three things about this Levite this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, his laziness. Amen. I want you to notice the Levite's laziness. Amen. How the Levites were to lead in worship. Amen. He thought, now look, I don't want to help nobody out of the ditch. I want to sing and shout. I don't want to win souls. A soul winning is somebody else's job. He used to have the anointing and the power of God on his singing. He used to have the anointing and the power of God on his testimonies. He used to have the anointing and the power of God when he stood in the temple and the sanctuary to lift up the name of Christ. But he's gotten too good to get in the dish now. And all the power of God's left his soul and left his singing. You want to know how to lose the power of God in your life? You get to where you're so lazy. All you want to do is come to church, but you don't want to invite nobody to come with you. You don't want to work on the work days. You don't want to praise God. I tell you, you'll lose the power of God on you. You may sing and you may shout, but it will all be a show. As soon as laziness creeps in, you'll lose the anointing of the God.
Amen.
Forget it. You won't get no anointing of God in your life. Hey, why do you think it is? Now, I know some of you here are singing quartets, and I played for them and all that junk. But why is it there's a lot of quartets get started off, and it's got the power of God on them when they get started? I mean, the Holy Ghost is a blessing to them. I talked to somebody about one the other day. A man, his wife, and his mother-in-law that sang together, and the man's done left his wife for another man. And they used to have the power of God on them. I mean, when they used to sing, it stirred my soul. And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. But today, they've lost all power. Listen, you know why? Because of laziness. As the alarm starts off with the power of God on their singing, they get to deciding that they done got good enough where all they got to do is sing in the big churches and the big auditoriums, and they got too big to sing for the little folk. They're not concerned about people that's going to hell. All they're concerned about is getting a big paycheck from a promoter somewhere. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then they lose the power of God on their singing. And listen, praise and glory. Glorifying God is not about a show. It's about a sincere heart that is pointed and directed toward the Lord Jesus. If you get lazy in your service, you'll lose the sound of your praise. I mean, it takes the power of God to praise Him. You'll not worship without the Holy Ghost. And we see the Levite with laziness. I want you to notice something else about the Levite. Not only his laziness, but I want you to notice his lying. Lying. The Levite was a liar. Scripture doesn't give us a detailed representation of this. Let me speculate for a minute. He's coming down the road. He looks over in the ditch. Sees that man laying there half dead. Says to himself, now that right there is a problem. That's bad. Sure is, you know, somebody needs to help him. They really do. He turned around and walked by on the other side. Walk down the road. Maybe somebody's walking with him. One of his fellow Levites. He pokes him ribs. Says, hey, ain't that pitiful about that man laying in that ditch? I mean, that's really pitiful. You know, I just really broke my heart. I'm really concerned about that. I mean, you wouldn't even believe how concerned and distraught and how much distress I am in and how disturbed I am about that man laying in that ditch back there. He's a bald-faced flat liar. If he was too concerned and too distraught and too upset and too distressed about a man laying in the ditch, he wouldn't have talked about it, but he would have done something about it. Amen. Amen. Folk today that are living and they see people in the ditch with sin that's destroyed their lives, they'll stand and testify and say, oh God, I sure do want people to get saved. Oh God, my heart breaks for all souls. But yet they do absolutely nothing about trying to win those souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. They can walk by another side of the road and turn their head while people go to hell. And they say they love them. They don't love them. They're lying through their teeth. And people that love the souls of men will make activities to see they are saved. That's right. A man that says he loves his brother and does not share with him the gospel is a liar. And the truth of the Lord's not in him. Festus thought about the man in the ditch. He had done something about it. But he was telling a lie, because if he was so disturbed, he'd have really cared. He'd have done something. But he didn't. The Levite, I want you to notice his laziness, his lying. I want you to notice this third thing here. I want you to notice his Lord. His Lord. He showed his real devotion when he looked on the man in need and in trouble and passed by on the other side. He showed his real devotion was not to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to himself. You see, it was too much trouble to get down the ditch and help somebody. It was too much trouble to get down the ditch and help him out. But he'd rather turn his head and walk by on the other side. Now, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us that one of these days the sheep and the goats is going to be separated. How left and right, his son of those of his right, enter into the joys of the Lord. After when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and naked and thirsty and in prison and done all these things? He said, in the leading that you have done unto the least of these, my brethren. And so ye have done it unto me. And he looked at those on his left and said, depart from me into everlasting darkness, because when I was hungry, you didn't clothe me. When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was athirst, you didn't give me to drink. When I was in prison, you came not to visit me. And inasmuch as you have done it not unto these, the least of my brethren, you have done it not unto me. You really want to show your love for somebody after the Lord Jesus Christ has shown your love for somebody. Amen. If you don't love your brother who you have seen, you cannot love God whom you have not seen. Hereby we know that we have the love of God in us, that we love one another. And Jesus said, ye shall know that ye are my disciples, because you love one another. He said, you know you pass from death to life because you love the brethren. If you don't show your love for a brother in need, you're not right with God.
Amen.
It's just that simple. Who are you devoted to? Who are you really devoted to? Yourself or the Lord? You can say you love Jesus, but do you show it? How are you doing? How are you doing? Not how are you feeling, but how are you doing? What about it this morning? Not your brother, not your sister. I'm talking to you. How are you doing this morning? The priest passed by on the other side. The Levite passed by on the other side. But there was a third party come along. The party in the first part passed by on the other side. The party in the second part passed by on the other side, but the third party, he decided he'd stop by for a while. Amen. How the Good Samaritan came along. And listen, hey, I want to tell you, I want to preach to you for just a minute about this Good Samaritan. I want to let us take example of the Samaritan's deeds. In verse number 33, he said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him, had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he put him on his own vehicle and carried him to an inn where he tarried with him all night long. I want you to notice something about this Samaritan. He didn't do like the priest. He didn't do like the Levite. He didn't turn his nose up and walk by on the other side. But instead, the Bible said, he looked on him. Amen. I thank God that he looked on him. He said he saw him in verse 33. And then, hallelujah be to God, that God sees us in all of our need. And this should be the name of God of the day he looked on me. Oh, glory to God. He saw Samaritan, saw him in just the shape he was in. And thank God the Father looked all the way from heaven. And the eyes of the Lord came to where I was and saw me in the rotten, sinful shape I was in. And he made a difference in my life. God sees you and knows you just like you are.
Amen.
That's right. Well, I saw, heard a fellow say not too long ago, he was a sodomite, and he said that God knows what we're doing and he don't care. I have news for you. God knows what all of us are doing.
Amen.
And he does care.
It does matter to the Lord.
Amen.
It does make a difference to Him. He looks on us and He sees us just in the shape we are in. But that's not as far as what the Lord goes. He went farther, just as a Samaritan. When He looked on him, the Bible said He loved him. The Bible said when he saw him, He had compassion on him. I'm glad that the Lord saw us and had compassion on us. The Samaritan was not mad at the man for falling in the ditch. He was instead loving him just like he was. Somebody said, "Preacher, you don't know what kind of shape I'm in. You don't know where I've been, what I've done. God be mad at me." I'll tell you something, friend. God's not mad at people that's in the ditch of sin, but He loves them right in the state they're in. He loves them just like they are. Hallelujah be to God. If we had to clean up and clean out before we could cry out to God, every one of us would already be in hell. I'm so glad, hallelujah be in the name of God, that He loves us just like we are. In the sinful state we may be in, God loves man just like he is. Just like he is. You don't straighten up and come to God. You come to God, let Him straighten you up. Amen. When I was in the ditch of sin and did not know Him, I thank God that He looked on me and had compassion and loved me just like I was. Well, He looked on him. He loved him. I will say He went another step farther and He lifted him. Hallelujah be to God. Well, the Bible said it. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. And then the Bible said He set him on his own beast. I thank God for the time when the Holy Ghost of God came to the ditch of sin where I was, and He came to me, and He didn't just pour in that oil and wine and leave me there in the ditch, but He set me up. He pulled me from the pit of sin where I was and set me up. Well, don't you notice what the oil wine is? First of all, what He do? He took His wounds and He poured in oil. Everybody knows the oil means the Holy Ghost of God. I thank God for the time He cracked my heart open and He poured in the precious Holy Ghost. Amen. I thank God for the time He poured in the wine. You know what the wine is, don't you? That's the healing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you remember on the day of the Last Supper, He took the cup and passed it around full of wine and He said, "This is my blood. I drink and partake of that." I thank God for the blood of Jesus. And He's poured down the inside and to cleanse the hearts of men. Well, thank God. And then He took him and set him on his own beast. A Psalm chapter 40, David said, "I waited patiently on the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." I thank God that He lifted me. He lifted me, amen, when I was seeking deep in sin, far from the crimson flow. And that love lifted me. Love lifted me. Oh, hallelujah. I said, "The Samaritan looked on him, loved him, and lifted him."
Amen.
But you know what? He went a step farther. And He loaded him. I don't mean on the beast. I mean He loaded him with benefits.
Amen.
Amen. You ever heard somebody talk about a job and say, "Well, the pay's pretty good, but boy, the benefits is great." That's the way it is for living for Jesus. He just loads us with benefits. Well. How much what it said, verse 34 and 35, said He brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him. And whatever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee." Now we've got a fellow here that's been in the ditch laying half dead, bruised, beaten, and battered, destroyed. This man puts some clothes on him, pours medicine into his wounds, carries him to an inn, tells the innkeeper, when he stays with him all night long, next morning tells the innkeeper, gives him some money, says, "If he owes anything else, when I come back, I'll give you the rest. I'll pay it off. I'm going to pay off. I'm going to clear his debt."
Amen.
Well, I want to look at this. He brought him out of the ditch and put him on his beast and carried him to an inn. You know what the inn is? That's the type of the church. I'm glad when God saved me, He put me in a Bible-believing, First Congregational, King James Version preaching.
Amen.
Methodist church. Amen. Amen. I'm glad He did. Now listen, I'm glad God gave me the church.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, the Bible said when He got him to the inn, He took care of him. You know where God's going to take care of a young Christian? It's going to be down at the house of God. Amen. I say it'll be at the church where God will take care of a man when he saves him. Amen. And then He said on the morrow when He departed, He took out 2 pence and gave to the host. You know what He did? He put a down payment on the man's debt. He gave him the earnest money.
Right.
Does anybody know what earnest money is? That's more or less a down payment. I'm going to buy some land from Brother Eddie. Alright, I'm going to buy some land. Alright. First thing we do is we make a deal on a handshake. We're going to get a contract on this thing. But in order to hold that deal, secure that deal, I give you $100 earnest money. Down payment. Now, before we sign a contract, I decided to back out of this thing. You could keep my $100. Even before we sign a contract, you decided to back out of this thing. You've got to give me back my $100. And by making that deal, I'm promising you, there's some more coming later on. I'm going to give you this $100 now. Later on, there's going to be some more. This is just a part.
Amen.
A small part of what's going to be down the road. That's right. That's right. Now listen, hey. The Bible said when Jesus left this world, He gave us the earnest of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
In other words, He made a down payment. The Holy Ghost of God is the down payment for the souls of men. And He looked at this innkeeper, the man did, and said, I'm going to give you some money now. But if the bill runs higher than what I've given you now, you just give the man whatever he wants. And when I get back, I'll pay you the rest of his debt.
Amen.
Well, I'm glad when Jesus left this world, He left the Holy Ghost in charge of the church.
Amen.
And He said, if the church's bill runs higher than what I've already paid, this is just a down payment.
Amen.
You wait and see what you're waiting on the other side. Amen.
Amen.
I say, loaded us with benefits.
Amen.
I'm glad God didn't just save us. He didn't just give us a church.
Amen.
But there is a home on the other side of Jordan. What a place that's going to be. Amen. What a place. What a place. Well, Psalm 103 and verse 1 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of His benefits. I'm glad He loads us with benefits. Well, He looked on him. He loved him. He lifted him. He loaded him with benefits. I'll say one more thing about this Samaritan. He left him a promise. He looked back and he said, when I come again, I will repay thee. He let that man that was wounded know, look, I got to go, but I will come again. John chapter 14 and verse 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would not have. I said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions.
Amen.
And if it were not true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. I'm that the great Samaritan of heaven, when he left this world, after he pulled us out of ditch, and that he made a promise at this same Jesus that went away on the cloud, is a coming again in like manner. Amen. I bless his wonderful name. And Paul said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. I said, I'm looking forward to the day when the old ship of Zion pulls up and we load up on the gospel ship and go sailing through the air. What a promise, what a promise. We're loading up. I'll check it out one of these days. I said soon, it was very soon, we're going to see the King. It'll all be over. All the trials, all the tribulations, all the out of distress, out of temptation. We can wave goodbye, world goodbye. Wave the bloodstained banner of Jesus and sing, "Holy is the Lamb. Blessed is the name of the Lord forevermore." I said, "Worthy, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb." He left us a promise. He's coming again.
Yes, sir.
Coming.
Amen.
Coming again.
Right.
I said, "He's coming soon."
Amen.
He's coming soon. The journeyman lived because of the love of the Samaritan. The Samaritan is Christ. And all those who seek to be Christ-like. And all, though we cannot perform the deeds of lifting, loading, or leaving the promises of Christ, we are responsible to perform the deeds of looking and loving.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Go thou and do likewise." Don't leave your brothers in the ditch. Get them to the church as fast as you can. Consider the ways of the Samaritan. And then go thou and do likewise. I'm done. Come the song. The question this morning is, how are you doing? Not how are you feeling, but how are you doing? Are you doing well? Had a man tell me one time, said, "Well, preacher, I try to live by the good book." You know what my question was to him? How well are you succeeding in living by the good book? You know what? If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord. I want to let you know that the Good Samaritan will come your way today. Look on you and the shape you're in. Don't try to clean up. Put on a show for God. You ain't going to fool the Lord. But He'll love you just like you are. Lift you up out of ditch and the pit of sin. Set you on solid rock. He'll load you with benefits. Leave you a promise that He's coming back again. How about you as a Christian this morning? Are you really doing what you're supposed to be doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? James said, "Faith without works is dead." I believe, preacher. I know you do. Most likely you wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't believe. I didn't ask you if you believed. I asked you how you're doing. How well are you performing? Trying to live by the good book? How well are you succeeding? Trying to be a witness? How much of it are you really doing? How are you doing this morning? Faith without works is dead. James said, "Show me a man without works, and has he have faith? I'll show him my faith by my works." What you're going to do is going to speak a lot louder to this lost and dying world than what you say. Anybody can say it. Real Christians do it. Stand with us. You need to come. You come. We're singing, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" Are You Washed in the Blood? 177. You need to come this morning. Speak to God. I would not wait one moment before I made my way to this altar if I need to talk to the Lord.